Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, and today we will talk college football update. It was an exciting week. We'll go over some of the scores and what's coming up this week as well. And we're also going to provide, if we have time permitting, a CFL update, Canadian Football League. I've been watching that a little bit the last few weeks. I watched, I think it was Edmonton and Calgary in the Battle of Alberta. I think it was last week. And so we'll get an update on what's going on in the CFL as they're in the second half of their season, which is a 20-week regular season, 18 regular season games, and two byes. All right, so let's start with college football. Well, it was quite an exciting weekend, especially if you were a Texas Longhorn fan. The Texas Longhorns went into Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and soundly, even though it was close at times, defeated the Alabama Crimson Tide 34-24. And Texas obviously is 2-0, but that was a big win for the program, probably the biggest win for the program since it was in the college football championship game. It was so long ago, it was called the BCS back then, and they were facing Alabama at that time. So quite a big win for the Texas program. And Steve Sarkisian, for Texas now, they must remain focused on playing that way every week now and having no letdowns. Texas tends to play up to their opponents and also play down to them, at least in recent years. So they've got to stay focused going forward. And Alabama, don't know what happened there. They had the young quarterback. He did okay, but you could tell that there was Texas definitely had the advantage. This was not a fluke. Texas outplayed them. They outplayed them in Tuscaloosa. So, but again, it's early. We will see. It's September, early September, mid-September. So let's see where things are in November. And Alabama sometimes is known for a slow start early in the season. Not all the time, but occasionally. And then they tend to pick it up as the season goes on. So just looking at some of the conference records of the – oh, first we want to provide this update. Since our last show, three more teams are switching conferences next season. The ACC voted to approve the SMU Mustangs, the Stanford Cardinals, and the California Golden Bears, both from the Pac-12. So now the Pac-12 will only have two teams next year. I don't think they'll be around by next year, if that's the case. And just to review, SMU, Stanford, and Cal are switching and moving over to the ACC next season. So that will increase the number of ACC teams to 17, 18 if you count Notre Dame. The Big 12 is getting Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, and Colorado. Currently they have 14 teams, but they will have 16, and that's because Texas and OU will be switching from the Big 12 to the SEC. We'll have 16 teams as well. And then the Big Ten is adding USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington next year, which will increase the Big Ten conference to 18 teams. So hopefully you're not too confused by all this. I know I am sometimes, trying to remember who's in what conference. But next season, the Big Ten will have 18 teams. The Big 12 will have 16 teams. The SEC will have 16 teams. And the ACC will have 17 teams, not counting Notre Dame. All right, we have a looks like somebody's calling here. So let's talk to them here. Hang on. Hello, go ahead. Hello? Hello, go ahead. What's your name?
Okay. This is Luke Horner from Jersey. You were just explaining about the three Pac-12 teams that are moving over to the ACC and whatever. How are you going to run a conference with only two teams? I mean, whoever thought this is destroying the Pac-12, I mean, this I think is ruining college football. How do you run a conference with only two teams?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. At this point, I don't think they will. I believe the – first of all, what was your name, sir?
Lou, I've called here before.
Okay, Lou, welcome back. Yeah, that's
Thanks.
A great question. To be honest with you, I haven't really had time to think about it. I've just been reacting to the news I've been hearing. And obviously it's going to be Oregon State and Washington State will have to join either another conference or hopefully get into one of the other power conferences. But what we knew is the Pac-12 is no more because you can't run a conference on two teams. Exactly, because both teams are gone.
And these teams, you know, they're going from west to east. I mean, they're not even, you know, the Pac-12, you know, they're going to go all the way to east. It doesn't even make sense geographically.
I know. It makes absolutely no sense at all. The only thing I can think of is that the conferences, and maybe this is being pushed by, and this is just a theory of mine, being pushed by the networks, because I've heard this theory or idea being pushed around that the conferences want a game in each time zone. So that's Eastern, obviously Central, Mountain, Pacific. So now each of the conferences, I believe, will have – each of the four remaining power conferences will have that. I may be missing one, but ACC,
maybe.
Big Ten, except for the SEC. SEC will still be Central and East, but the other three will have a game in each conference. So maybe it's – the networks would want a – and I can't confirm this, but the networks want a game, a late-night game and an afternoon game going head-to-head rather than – one conference having an evening game and not. So I don't know. I don't know if that's
now,
pushing this, but it seems that way.
What do you do about the independent teams? You know, like BYU, Notre Dame, basically there's really no need for independent teams anymore. I think, you know, they need to go to a conference, finally.
BYU is actually in the Big 12. They are one of the four new teams.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Go ahead.
They used to be, I think, an independent team. I don't think they belonged in conference until recently, right?
That's correct. Yeah, they went independent in the 2011 season, and they just joined the Big 12 this year. They're one of the four new teams that are in the Big 12, which is confusing enough to try to remember which teams and where they're at. But Notre Dame, I believe, is considered an associate member of the ACC, and I don't understand why they haven't joined yet. I've given up on them. Any hope of them joining any conference at this point. So I think they're the last holdout, obviously, of the independents. But, I don't know. It's a big shakeup. And I think it's all in preparation for upcoming years when they have the expanded playoffs. So I think this year is just kind of a short-term thing.
Notre Dame, I think, was successful during the pandemic year when they went to the Big Ten. So why did they just decide to stay there?
I'm sorry, which team? Didn't hear that.
Notre Dame. I mean, because, you know, when the pandemic season hit, they were they joined the Big Ten conference, so why didn't they just stay in the conference?
You're half right. They did join the ACC, and I agree. I don't know why they didn't stay in it, other than it's just they're Notre Dame, and they don't believe that they should have to be in a conference. They also have their own TV deal, and I guess that's one of the reasons people don't like him.
I
agree with you. I think they should join. I think they should. I don't know why they don't. It doesn't make sense. But they're just the last holdout at this point, and we have now we have 69. I guess you say 69 teams in what's considered the power conferences, whether it's four or five, which will drop to 67 next year, depending on Oregon State and Washington State. So it's a fluid situation. Let's put it that way. So would you like to make any comments or have any questions before we move on with the college football report?
No, it's just about it. I mean, it's just becoming, you know, one big gigantic mess here. And, you know, because it's not like the way college football used to be. especially then, because, you know, I mean, I'm not that young. I remember when college football was, you know, you had your Big East, you had the Pac-10 back then, and now everything's just becoming all dissolving.
I couldn't agree with you more. You sound like you're about the same age I am, so I totally understand, and I haven't even had time to make sense of it. I'm just trying to figure out what's happening and who's going where at this point, and then I guess we're reading about the details later. I guess that's the same thing they're doing.
I've been following college sports since, I think, 1978, so, you know, I've been around a while.
Yes, you have, and this is obviously quite a shock to yourself and a lot of the longtime fans, so join the club. But I guess try to enjoy what you can, and then as things progress, I think next year will make more sense when the teams are actually in their conferences next season and everyone gets settled, at least until next year, and we can at least go forward on that. But right now it's pretty chaotic. I do understand that. And before I let you go, do you follow the CFL at all?
You mean the Canadian counterparts? Not
yes.
particular. Maybe doing like the playoffs for the Grey Cup and then the playoffs stuff, but regular season, not so much. I am familiar with it, though.
Okay. Excellent. Well, Lou, I know you had another show. Could you plug your show again so our listeners can find out what that is and when it is?
Sure. It's called Whatever Happened to College Football the Way It Used to Be. The Enhanced Sports Show. That's the real title. We're on live Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Are you East Coast? I forget.
We're in the Central.
Then it's 3 to 5. Then it's 3 to 5 for you. We do handle college football. We take predictions. We cover like injury reports and who got and who did the what, and all kinds of trouble. We also carry the NFL, Major League Baseball. We'll cover the finals of the World Basketball Cup this week, WNBA, and everything else. The number is 512-543-4662. And like I said, it is a live call-in podcast. So if you got time between 3 and 5 in your area, if you got time, give a call. But remember, we are under observation that we can't say the 7 dirty words you can't say on television.
Excellent. Okay, thank you, Lou, and we appreciate you calling in and providing some details and perspective on what it's like for college football fans right now. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
In case you call, who are you going to
All right, thank you, Lou. We appreciate you calling, and, I mean – that he reflects a large percentage of us. I mean, I suppose. I know he certainly reflects how I'm feeling. I have really, like I said, not processed all the changes in college football since there have been so many so quickly and so many traditional rivalries and geographical setups are gone. And I suppose some are returning, like Colorado is returning to the Big 12, Texas is joining the SEC, but they're going to be playing Texas A&M again. And a lot of the Pac-12 teams are, I guess, they're kind of sticking together, but in different conferences. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will get into some of the upcoming – or actually, we'll review some of the last week's college football games and some of the upcoming games this week. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to a Common Sense Radio. And just to review some of the other games, it was an interesting week, I guess, for the Texas teams. Of course, the Texas Longhorns had a big win over Alabama in Tuscaloosa. But for the rest of the teams, it was not very good. The Texas A&M Aggies, who looked to be the favorite against Miami, not only lost, but they gave up 48 points against the Miami Hurricanes. So not a good performance by the Aggies. The Baylor Bears, who were knocked around first week by Texas State, they lost to the Utah Utes in a close game, 20-13. Now, the interesting part of that game is, as we were just discussing with Lou, Utah will be joining the Big 12 next year. So this is a future conference matchup between Utah and Baylor. So, again, it's a non-conference game now, but it's a future conference game. So when you look at all the details, it's hard to remember who's going where right now. But then Texas Tech, they lost at home to Oregon 38-30. Let's see. And then Houston lost to Rice in overtime. And Houston is another team that just joined the Big 12. So not a good week for some of the Big 12 teams and some of the teams in some of the teams in the Big 12. Now, some of the upcoming games this week, I know not every college is starting their – or every conference is starting their conference schedule, but the SEC does have Tennessee and Florida. So Tennessee and Florida will be playing this week. And from what I remember, I think I saw a stat on this, Tennessee has only defeated Florida two times since, I think it was 2004, 2005. And I think two of those were recent. Might have that wrong, but Florida definitely dominated that series, regardless of how bad they've been over the years, or how, not bad, but mediocre. Some of the other conference games this week will be, not a conference game. It used to be a conference game, but inter-power conference game will be Missouri hosting Kansas State. A Big Ten matchup will have Penn State on the road in Champaign against Illinois. ACC will be Florida State up in Boston. And Florida State, they've looked about as impressive as anybody so far this year. Of course, beating LSU 45-24 in the first game. And then overwhelming Southern Miss 66-13 this past week. In the SEC, you have Mississippi State will host LSU, number 14th ranked LSU, that is. And then Florida State's number 3. Notre Dame is hosting Central Michigan, and they are the 9th ranked team. Oregon State, one of the teams we just mentioned with Lou, that have been left out of the Pac, or from the Pac-12, out of the realignment thus far. They are 16th ranked, and they will host the San Diego State Aztecs. Another power interconference matchup will be UNC, the 20th ranked UNC, hosting Minnesota. And then another SEC game will be number 1 ranked Georgia hosting South Carolina. And Georgia so far has not been, they won both their games, but they've played Tennessee Martin, and they've won 48-7 in week 1. And then week 2, they defeated – who did they beat week 2? They beat somebody. I know that. They beat them pretty bad. But I'm not going to speak bad about Georgia. They deserve the number 1 ranking. But I don't know. Some of these matchups early season, there's not much of a test. Not to say they're not a good team, but as far as being a fan, you know that there's just not much of a contest there. So Georgia, we can't find it now, but hey, no, the game of the week, one of the games of this past week, Colorado, number 18th ranked Colorado, defeated Nebraska 36-14. So the Buffaloes are now 2-0. They will face their in-state rival Colorado State this week in the Rocky Mountain, I guess it's called the Rocky Mountain Showdown. And they play it at Mile High or Invesco Field or whatever it's called, that's sweet. And let's see, some other games will be Washington, number 8th ranked Washington Huskies on the road against Michigan State. This is another future conference matchup. As we already mentioned, the Huskies will join the Big Ten next year. Another power conference intra-conference game, Northwestern at Duke. And Duke is coming off that incredible opening night victory over Clemson. So let's see. And as we mentioned, Tennessee and Florida, that will be 6 o'clock, I think 6 o'clock Central. ACC Georgia Tech versus SEC Mississippi. Number 2 ranked Michigan hosting Bowling Green. Number 4 ranked Texas hosting Wyoming. Number 13th ranked Oregon hosts Hawaii. Oh, and there was another underrated game this past week, a power conference, intra-conference matchup. Ole Miss defeated Arizona at home in overtime, 31-24. Quite a game that was. Actually, let me check that. Let's make sure that was the right team. It was Mississippi State, not Ole Miss. So Mississippi State won in overtime over Arizona, 31-24. And now, to be honest, that was a surprising result. I mean, you figure an SEC team like Mississippi State at home against a Pac-12 team, they ought to win that convincingly. They won, but it went to overtime. So, I don't know. The SEC, maybe I might be biting my tongue again, but maybe they're not as strong this year, or the other conferences have caught up to them. Who knows? As we said, let's look forward to November. Number 12th ranked Utah at home against Weber State. Number 25 ranked Iowa at home against Western Michigan. So some of the key matchups this week, I believe, you have South Carolina at Georgia, SEC game, Georgia's first real test of the season, I'd say. Tennessee and Florida, important early season matchup in the SEC East. Colorado, they look to try to stay on track against Colorado State. And from what I remember, that's not an easy game for Colorado. They haven't always won that. Colorado State, the Colorado State Rams in the Mountain West usually play well against Colorado. In fact, both teams, you can throw out the records in this rivalry. Both teams will play their best game in this, usually at least. All right, so we're going to look at the – we're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, we will look at what's going on in the CFL. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Common Sense Radio. So looking at the CFL, Canadian Football League, it's not a league that I've followed much, but I've watched some games lately, and I'm aware of the teams and the histories vaguely. But right now, let me explain. Regular season consists of 20 weeks, 18 regular season games, and 2 bye weeks. So right now they're into their 13th week. So they've done 13 weeks, and they have 7 to go. So the records on these will not all the teams will have the same amount of games because some teams have had more byes than others. But in the Eastern Division, we'll start with the Western Division. Winnipeg leads that division at 10-3, followed by BC at 8-4. Saskatchewan is 6-6. Calgary 4-9 and Edmonton 3-10. And over in the East, the defending Grey Cup champion Toronto, they lead the East at 10-1, followed by the Montreal Alouettes at 6-6, the Hamilton Tiger Cats 5-7, and the Ottawa Red Blacks at 3-9. Well, if you're not sure where all these teams are or where they are, if you look at a map and you look at the United States, the Western Division, you have BC, which is British Columbia. That's essentially the west coast of Canada. So that would be like – and if you go, I guess, the next province east, I guess it would be above maybe Montana. In the United States, you'd have Edmonton, and Calgary in Alberta. The next province over will be Regina, and Saskatchewan will be in that one. That's the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And then the next over that is Manitoba, which I believe is above, I want to say Minnesota. That's where Winnipeg is located. Then in the east, you have Toronto and Hamilton, both in Ontario, which is north of, I'd say just north of Buffalo, western New York, Ohio area. Then the capital of the country is Ottawa. That's the Red Blacks. And then Montreal Alouettes, they're located in Quebec. And if you're a hockey fan, you're quite aware of where all these teams are, since seven of these nine cities have an NHL team. So let's look at the scores from this past week. The Argonauts defeated the Alouettes 29-10, and this Friday they will face Montreal again, but in Montreal, this Friday, 6 p.m. Then Hamilton. Hamilton is coming off a win over Ottawa, 27-24. They, on Saturday, will host Winnipeg at 3 o'clock. Ottawa is coming off a 27-24 loss to Hamilton. They are on the road in British Columbia Saturday at 6 p.m. And then Calgary, their next game will be 2 weeks, the following Saturday against Montreal. They have a bye this week, and they are coming off a loss to Edmonton, 25-23. Edmonton this week will be on the road in Saskatchewan against the Rough Riders on Friday at 8:30. So now with the CFL playoffs, I believe they have the way their playoff works, let's look at this. I believe you have six teams make it. Yeah, just to wrap up, there's six teams make it every year, and there are three from each conference. Although I believe there is something called the crossover rule, which they used to have, where if a team in, like let's say a fourth place team has a better record than the third place team in the opposite conference, that fourth place team will get the playoff berth over the third place team of the other conference. So you have the second and third seeded teams in that conference face each other in the division semifinals. The winner faces the top-ranked team, number one seed, which gets a bye in the first round, and the winners of those in the division finals face off in the championship game. And this year, it will be the 110th Grey Cup will be in Hamilton, Ontario, at Tim Hortons Field. So that's an update on the CFL and college football from this past week. We hope you enjoyed the games. I know the realignment has got people confused, so continue to watch, and hopefully we'll get it figured out. Have a good day. Bye-bye.